From the highest mountains to the bluest seas, the driest deserts to the icy poles, Kate Turkington has traveled there, and now she's inviting you to travel with her through your radio. Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning to you. We could have done with some of those icy wastes in Johannesburg this week. We've been going through the most fierce heat wave, temperatures 35, apparently in Bloemfontein. They went up into the 40s, and up in Kruger and the Lowveld, still no rain. We have had rain in Johannesburg, a couple of those wonderful Johannesburg storms, those Highveld storms. So things are looking a bit better. Everywhere is looking green. But I'm going to take you back, because I didn't finish telling you last week about the mega trip I had just finished to the Lowveld. And I was just reminding you, why was I there? I was actually updating a guidebook, Photos Essential, a guide to South Africa, and my brief was Mpumalanga and Kruger and the private reserves round Kruger, like Manyaneti and Timbavati, etc. So I'm going to take you back up to the Lowveld. I have a grandson who's a game ranger at one of the private camps up there. I spoke to him yesterday. He said, "Granny, still no sign of rain. The green grass has come through and there's lots of baby impalas and whatever. So in spite of no rain, somehow the bush is springing to life again." It's amazing how nature can restore itself all the while. Anyway, when I went up on the last trip, my first port of call, and I thought it's quite nice, I hope you enjoy it too, to share with you some of the places I stayed at. Look, some will be totally beyond my own pocket, in fact most of them. When you're an author, when you're doing a guidebook, you have complimentary accommodation at the lodges. Otherwise, obviously, I'd never be able to stay at a place like Mala Mala or Tengili River Camp or Londolozi or whatever. But just to share with you, I'm sure in the old days, many of us could afford to go there. I can remember decades ago spending 800 rand for a family lodge at one of the private camps at Ulusaba, in fact, which of course is Richard Branson's lodge now. I'll tell you about that in just a moment.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
Well, before I actually went into Kruger and into Sabi Sam, Timbavati, etc., we stayed at a lovely little place in Hazy View called Tula Mela, T-H-U-L-A-M-E-L-A. You can Google all these things, Tula Mela. And just, it's a very romantic little place. There are just six little wooden cottages. They, with a deck, each deck has it's not a plunge pool, it's actually a heated pool. It's more like a jacuzzi come plunge pool. Totally private. Your little wooden cottages, you don't see other people, you don't see the other cottages. In a like a fairy tale forest. Steep steps. If you're not too steady on your pins, I wouldn't recommend it. But for a romantic weekend for honeymoon couples, extremely affordable. You stay in your little cottage. Outside, you've got your lovely wooden deck, as I said, with a lovely double swing where you can sit and listen to the bird life and watch some of the small mammals. You've also got a sunken braai pit there if you want to, Bri. And every morning, one of the ladies who works there will bring you down a lovely breakfast. It's a kind of cross between a continental breakfast, all the good goodies you get in a continental breakfast, just as well as poached eggs. So if you're looking for quietness, if you're looking for somewhere off the beaten track, even though literally it's just off the R40, it's just such a nice place to go. Only for couples, no children. So maybe a silver wedding, maybe, I don't know, maybe a honeymoon. That's Tulamella in Hazy View. And then Kruger itself, we went into, I think you all know enough about Kruger, the main camps as opposed to the bush camps. Look, the bush camps are a wee bit more expensive, but they are so much more private. If you stay in one night, Biamiti, down in the south, I can't remember how many cottages there are offhand, not many. Each cottage is on the river. You've got herds of elephants there all the time. You've got passing wildlife all the time. I was staying there actually with my family, and the family went off at crack of dawn when they gates opened. They were well rewarded, actually, because they found a lovely pride of 9 lions lying on the road. They were the only people there. I stayed in camp because we had had a hell of a journey from Johannesburg the day before. So I stayed in camp, got up a little bit later, went and sat. Each cottage has its own bench with the river view. I went down and sat on the bench, and just to the right of our cottage is a hide where you can climb in and watch the river and watch the bird life with wooden benches. But I was sitting on my own bench watching the river. There were about, must have been at least 50 elephants there. And then there was a herd of impala, and I suddenly noticed them get very, very spooky. And I thought, this is strange. So I walked a few steps up into the hide. There was just one young fellow there, a doctor from Johannesburg, taking photos with his mega lens. And I said, you know, that impala herd has just spooked. He said, yes, I noticed it. On cue, a mother leopard and a cub walked in front of the hide. It's hard to beat. It's hard to beat Kruger. And so often when you stay in camp, if you're a birder particularly, if you stay in camp when everybody's gone out looking for wildlife, if you stay in camp, some of the older camps have the most magnificent bird life because the bird life is habituated after so many years. Like with everything else in Kruger, you've got to book months in advance. The booking for 2025 opened on September the 1st. So, as I said to you before, there's a really good website. It's not sexy or glamorous or whatever. It's just sandparks.org. You choose your park, you choose your camp. There's an availability button. Click on the availability. It tells you exactly what is available. And for my money, you can't beat Kruger. As I taught all my family, you never know what's around the next corner. And sometimes it's a quiet drive. Sometimes it's... When we went into Kruger this time, we hadn't been in 5 minutes, and a herd of about 50 buffalo crossed the road in front of us. We had to stop. We were all on our own, actually. We'd gotten in about 11 o'clock. And, you know, old hands say you've got to be out at dawn. And in a way, that's true if you're out of the camp first thing. But I've seen leopards at noon. I've seen The trouble with seeing lions in the day, of course, is that they're not doing anything usually. They're just lying there, sleeping, and sleeping lions aren't incredibly exciting. Unless, of course, you come from overseas and never seen a lion. And then, of course, you can book the Kruger Park game drives. And I always advise book the early evening drive. I think it goes out about 4, half past 4. Why do I recommend that? Because you get, it's late afternoon, it's cooler. You get the game coming to water holes to drink, particularly still now, because they've had no rain. So all the wildlife and the birds are coming to the water sources. And then you get the thrill of the spotlight, because as darkness falls, the ranger is going to use the spotlight. So your chances of seeing a bush baby or a genet or a night birds, an owl, increases immediately. Don't, whatever you do, do a daytime drive. It's so, so hot, particularly at the moment. I mean, it's okay in winter. And good tip, when you book your accommodation, book your drives at the same time. And if you fancy a bushwalk, and bushwalks are lovely, you see all the little things you see. I did one this time. I've done so many, but I thought, let me do one. I was at one of the private lodges, and we found a little hole in the ground. Not all that little, about the circumference of a mug. So not all that little. And our ranger had a shoelace in his pocket. And he dangled the shoelace into, he was a spider fanatic, I must tell you, our guide. He dangled his shoelace into the hole. And there was movement. The lace began to move. Then two big hairy legs appeared, and eventually almost all of a baboon spider appeared. A big hairy thing about the size, not quite the size of my, yes, about the size of my fist. She didn't come up. She clung on to the lace for a while, thought about coming all the way up, was obviously very clever. Apparently spiders are very clever. Thought, this is just a shoelace, and back she went into her hole.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And back to Kruger. A great thing to do, if you're walking fit, is one of the trails, the Kruger Park trails. Again, you have to book up 12, 13 months in advance, I think, for the trails, because they're so popular. Only 8 people. My tip would be go with family or friends. I once did a trail where there was a very militant major who announced on the first night that he'd like to walk 20 km a day, kilometres a day. So we quickly abused him of that idea. We said, we just want to wander along. We want to sit on the banks of rivers and watch hippos. So the first night, there's 8 of you, you decide what your preferences are. How far would you like to go? Are the birders? Do you just want to mosey along or whatever? And you sleep in an A-framed hut, no luxuries. There's an ablution block. There's a bed and a couple of nails banged into the wall to hang your things on, a little table. And in the morning, you go walking. Afternoon, you rest. And then usually in the afternoon, about 3 or 4, you'll take a drive up with your ranger. And these rangers are the creme de la creme of Kruger. They're older, very senior. And in the evening, you sit round the fire, the crackling fire under the stars. And it's quite a spiritual experience when you're communing with nature in this way. You see nobody else. You really are in the wilderness areas of the park. You have to be over 12, over 60. They say you have to have a medical certificate. I did several trails well over 60 and never produced a medical certificate. And you don't have to be a hiker. If you can do the park run, if you can walk, go on one of those trails, they really can be life-changing. Then we started going to some of the very fancy camps in Sabi Sand. Sabi Sand, of course, the biggest private game reserve in South Africa, and has the densest population of leopards in the world. It really does. You will not go to Sabi Sand and not see a leopard. I can promise you, you'll see a lot of leopards. We went to Mala Mala. I mean, the legendary Mala Mala. It first started as a kind of little tented bush camp for the family, 1927. That's a long time ago. And of course, now it's absolutely legendary. One of the reasons being, it's the biggest area in Sabi Sand. It's got, I think it's 15 kilometres of river frontage, and it's got 19 kilometres of unfenced boundary with Kruger. I think if you spend 3 nights at Mala Mala, I think it will be very difficult not to see the Big Five. If you're looking for the Big Five, maybe you're looking for smaller things or whatever. Yes, all these big camps, the Londoloses, whatever, they're beyond the pocket of most South Africans. But it's always worth going in shoulder seasons, like October, early November, May, June, and looking at what special offers they have. And you really can't beat some of these camps, especially at Mala Mala. I have no shares anyway. I'm totally objective, and I've been writing safari books for decades. And then just before we came out of the park, my New York editor had asked me to go and stay at the Radisson Safari Hotel in Hoedspruit. Hoedspruit now, I must tell you, is becoming a very busy little tourist hub. I'd put money on that growing in the next 10 years and becoming perhaps one of the biggest tourist hubs in the Lowveld. What you expect of a Radisson Hotel, you expect efficiency, you expect all mod cons. Radisson Hotel, the Radisson Safari Hotel, it's the first safari hotel in South Africa. Other than the efficiency, et cetera, it's not like any other Radisson I've ever stayed at. It's absolutely beautiful. They sourced all their materials locally. So it's built of timber and slate and stone, all sourced locally. Beautiful chandeliers made of dry leaves. The gardens, the indigenous gardens, are an absolute delight. Again, they went to a local nursery and they said, please, will you do our gardens for us? I mean, it was the most enormous economic boost to Hoedspruit. They brought in people from Bushbuck Ridge, from Acorn Hook. I can't remember, I think 30%, 40% of the staff are locals, and they trained them. I mean, I really take my hat off to them. I wouldn't want to stay there because I'd rather be in the bush. I'd rather be in a rondavel in Kruger. But it was already bustling. There were two very large groups of African Americans, and obviously very wealthy, but they had youngsters in push carts, they had older people on sticks, all with their brand new safari gear, all in their new creased khaki trousers. The ladies had the hats with the flaps down their backs. They'd obviously spent a lot of money because the hotel itself has what the Americans call an outfitter, an agent, in the lobby, so he will book all your trips into Kruger, to the Panorama route, to Blind River Canyon, to the waterfalls, wherever, Pilgrim's Rest, wherever you want to go. But it was such a pleasant surprise. The hotel is actually a knockout. It really is a knockout. Maybe if you wanted to stay for one night before you went into Kruger or whatever, I'd recommend it heartily. Then we went to one of South Africa's all-time favourites. I can remember taking three of my little grandchildren there a long time ago, because two of those grandchildren are now married, to Ngala, the Ambient Ngala camp. And the thing, there were two Ngala camps. There's Ngala Lodge, Safari Lodge itself. Then there's Ngala Tented Camp, Ambient camps. And people go back again and again. The land that Ngala, the two Ngala lodges on, is actually owned by the World Wildlife Foundation. It's such an interesting story. It belonged to a philanthropist who donated the land to Kruger and to for Ngala and beyond Ngala to use it, on the understanding that Kruger manages it, manages the wildlife. So both the camps are half in Timbervati and half in Kruger. So you've really got the best of both worlds. Ngala, the main camp, is a big family camp. They've got kids programs. It's a big, when I say big, it's not like Skakuza or Star or something, but big. It's a great camp for families. And if you've got very deep pockets, then you want to go to Ngala Tented Camp, which just has nine suites overlooking the Timbervati River, which is dry. It was dry when I was there, but there were the elephants digging away in the sand, getting water. So the whole land there straddles Timbervati and Kruger. And when you talk about a tented camp, don't think tents, think actually tented palaces. Absolutely beautiful. So we were back and forth. We were in and out of Kruger, in and out of Sabi Sand, in and out of Hazy View. We then stayed for one night at another new hotel, the Skakuza Safari Hotel, built in Skakuza Camp. Well, I don't think it's a South African choice. Maybe if you can't get into park camp, if you can't get into the park camps, it would be a good idea to stay there. But it's a rather big, impersonal hotel. What it has got going for it, of course, is location, 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 because it's right there on the banks of the river there. Is it the Sabi or the Sand River there? I always muddle up the two. I think the Sabi, where you've got hippos looking like big black chicks dozing on the banks. But it's a fairly new hotel, so it's got some kinks to be ironed out. But there were foreign visitors staying there. And as I say, if perhaps you wanted a hotel experience right in Kruger, it might be the place for you. And then finally, talking about the whole Lowveld trip. And remember, you know, Mpumalanga is one of the most dramatic and beautiful provinces in South Africa. Everybody always thinks the Cape, the Cape, the Cape. Mpumalanga's got the Drakensberg. It's got the Blyde River Canyon, the third biggest canyon in the world, and the greenest. It's the greenest canyon in the world. Why? Because of the low felt humidity. The banks, the cliffs are covered with greenery of all kind. But after the Grand Canyon and the Fish River Canyon, the Blyde River Canyon is the third biggest in the world. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And there is a forever resort there. Again, cheap and cheerful and quiet. Busy, but you can do the most wonderful walks from there, just like a kilometre walk if you don't want to walk too far, and just gaze down at that amazing canyon and the three rondavels. You've got the waterfalls, you've got the pinnacle, you've got God's window. And talking of God's window, back in Hazy View, it's a favourite. It's been going for 30 years. The Rissington Inn, run by Chris Harvey. And those of you who remember Sibele Lodge up there in the Low Veld, it was one of the what to call it, one of the meccas in a way of country living. Beautiful hotel, went defunct because of a land claim. And Chris Harvey managed that for donkey's years. Then he went to Fugitive's Drift with the great late David Rattray in KZN and managed that. So Chris Harvey must be one of those people. And I'm hoping to talk to him in the new year to give him his views on how Low Veld tourism has changed over the years. So he now owns and manages the Rissington Inn. Just off the R40, you drive a kilometre off the R40 down a dirt road, you cannot believe you're anywhere near human habitation. Lovely cottages, lovely rooms, a view, you can actually see God's window on the mountains in the distance. Great food, great pool, only 10 minutes from the Pabini Gate. Think a kind of homestead. There's the main homestead, then you've got the cottages and the rooms. And it is the most affordable place, practically, we found in the Low Veld. It is really for all our pockets, whether you're chasing the stock exchange or you're living on a pension, you'll be able to afford Rissington Inn, even if you go in high season. It was full when we were there, Dutch visitors, South Africans, all kinds of people. Wonderful hospitality. So, as I've said to you, with airfares so expensive, think nearer home. And don't just think the Cape. The Cape is lovely, but it's a bit boring. And I mean, let's face it, Plett in December. You might as well be in Johannesburg because it's Johannesburg by the sea. I'm still a great Wild Coast fan. We used to spend family holidays there. And places like Habeha. And there are other places other than the Cape. And Mpumalanga really has so much to offer. I love it. After the break, I'm going to be giving you some great books again, all of which I've read. I never talked to you about a book that I haven't read. And I have said to you, I was born with a gene where I read like summer lightning. Nothing to do with speed reading. I just do it, and two of my four kids do it. So I read a book at night. I start at about 5, and I usually finish about 8, half past 8, depending on the book. So have your pens, pencils, something to write on, or your phone ready, because I've got some really good books to recommend after the break.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And just to remind you of the WhatsApp number, it's 061-895-1019. And Mavis, I have a WhatsApp. You don't say where you're living at the moment, but you say, I left South Africa many years ago. We used to drive our own car through the Kruger. Can you still do so? Oh, yes, Mavis. That's the best way to do it. When I'm writing the guidebooks, I always say, because they're intended for overseas audiences, obviously, I say, if you can, spend 2 or 3 nights at a private game reserve just to get yourself kind of familiarized, and then hire a car, rent a car, and drive into Kruger. There's nothing like finding your own elephant. This last time, we're driving along, my daughter and I, and we thought, let's do a loop. It was quite a long loop. It was about 4K loop. Middle of the day, sun beating down, all alone on this bush road. We come round a corner, and there's like a carpet of lions laid out on the road in front of us, all dozing. And we didn't know what to do because they wouldn't move. And we thought, well, we better not rev the engine and move them. So we actually turned, we were in a combi, we turned the combi round and drove back the way we came. Yes, of course you can drive yourself. Mavis, come back and come to Kruger again. Okay, I'm just trying to read. Okay. But thanks, Mavis. Thanks for that. Now, books. I promised you books. Oh, my word. I've just read 3 books that I just couldn't put down. The first book, called Carla's Game. That's Carla with a K. Carla's Game. And it's by somebody called Nick Harkaway. You'll find it in all the bookshops at the moment. And who is Nick Harkaway? He's the son of John le Carré. And he has written a book about George Smiley. Those of you who've read Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is on Netflix at the moment, super movie with Gary Oldman in the lead as George Smiley. If you love le Carré books, and the critics were waiting to pounce on this one written by his son. You know, they were waiting to say, wow, you're not as good as your father. It's brilliant. John le Carré must be smiling wherever he is. I've always had quite a personal interest in him because my late husband was at the same college at Oxford, the same Oxford college as John le Carré, and his name then wasn't John le Carré, it was David, and he was tall and blonde and drop-dead gorgeous, and we all fancied him madly, and he was a great party animal. David Cornwall had a shock of blonde hair, blue eyes, I say drop-dead gorgeous, and of course became a spy. He got a first in English from Oxford and then became a spy. Not a very important one, as he says in his memoirs. And by the way, I think it's on Netflix too. There's a program called The Pigeon Tunnel, and it's John le Carré talking about his life and his books before he died. Really worth watching, The Pigeon Tunnel. I think it's on Netflix. Otherwise, just Google it and find out where it is. Then I went to another spy book by another favourite author of mine, William Boyd. Those of you who love good, well-written books, page turners, but that are written so well, not the wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, rubbish. It's called Gabriel's Moon. Gabriel's Moon by William Boyd, about a travel writer who inadvertently gets caught up by M16, the British intelligence agency, and becomes a reluctant spy. Again, a page turner. Gabriel's Moon, William Boyd. And then I can't believe I didn't read it in one night because it's almost 600 pages long. But it's a long, long time since I've read a book where I was so emotionally involved with the plot, with the characters, and I actually, and it's out of character for me, I shed a tear at the end. It became a number one bestseller. It's called All the Colours of the Dark. It'll be on all the front shelves and exclusive in the bookshops, the Love bookshops, wherever you go. All the Colours of the Dark by Chris Whittaker. And Chris Whittaker wrote the New York Times bestseller, We Begin at the End. And I haven't read it, and I couldn't find it on my Kindle. I'm very lucky. I get books from the publishers, but if I haven't got it, I look on my Kindle. But when I finish the program this morning, I'm actually going off to Exclusive Books to find his last one, We Begin at the End. The reviews, it'll break your heart. It kept me frantically turning the pages, made me cry at the end. Another one, I've never read anything quite like it. This book will stay with you for a very long time. When I went to bed last night, I just finished it. It's 580 pages long. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop thinking about the characters. You'll be absolutely involved from the first page. I loved it. I Googled Chris Whittaker, the author, because I was so interested about him. He's British, and he was a trader on the stock market, and lost a million at one stage, and had quite a hectic young life. And found solace. He's married now with three children. Lives in Hertfordshire. To kind of soothe his nerves and as a kind of therapy, he began writing. Never written a book before in his life. His first book immediately became a bestseller. It was called Tall Oaks, and it won the Crime Tagger Award. He'd never written anything in his life, but my word, can he write? And then he published the We Begin at the End, which became a number one bestseller. All the Colours of the Dark is one of nearly everybody's book of the year in, I don't know in South Africa yet, but certainly in the UK, in America. Oh, you will lose yourself in this book. But I doubt, unless you're a very quick reader, you'll probably not have time to read it before Christmas because it is very long, but it never loses you. It never loses you for a second. So that's Chris Whittaker with one T, Whittaker, All the Colours of the Dark. As I say, when you go into any bookshop, it's going to be on one of those front shelves to display, along with the Psy, James Patterson's, etc. So there we are, lots of books for you. Carla's Game by Nick Harkaway, that's John le Carré's son, and it takes up the tale of George Smiley from Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy and brings him out of retirement. Absolutely super. Again, it's cerebral. It makes you think. Gabriel's Moon by William Boyd. Again, very readable, very, very readable. And then this last one I've been telling you about, All the Colours of the Dark by Chris Whittaker. I've already got a waiting list in my own family for it. And if ever you want to know anything more about books or whatever, you can always WhatsApp me on 061-895-1019. Or you can use my email, kate@kateturkington.com. Also, katehigh.com. Is that com or co.za, Craig? Okay, that's Craig Guthrie, without whom High FM would exist, but it keeps going brilliantly because of him, my controller and sound engineer, genius. So Kate at high.co.za, that's high, C-H-A-I, Kate at high.co.za, or kate@kateturkington.com. Okay, I'll be back next week. Haven't decided yet what we're going to talk about. Please always volunteer ideas, topics, issues for me. I'm very open. I've got an absolute mind that will go anywhere except to maths. Mind you, I have interviewed mathematicians some many moons ago. I once interviewed Stephen Hawking with that strange metallic voice coming out of his speaker many, many moons ago. That's all then for this week. As I say, thanks to Craig, thanks to all of you for listening. Travel safely wherever you're going and look after yourselves and look after others too.